Good morning, church. I'm so glad and I'm just so humbled today that you have chose to worship with us via Facebook Live. You know, as I was driving to church this morning, I got a little bit sad, more sad than I was last week, because I realized when I got here there would be nobody else here. And to be honest with you, it's tough not being able to meet in church with one another. You realize that's one of the greatest parts about church. When you miss it, you miss each other. But I'm so thankful that right now that God has given us a way that we can at least hear the Word of God and be encouraged through the singing and everything. But you know, on the way here, I was praying, you know, even though we can't meet together, I just pray that God will somehow use this to reach more people for the Lord Jesus Christ, people that might not be reached if we were to meet on a Sunday. And last week, we actually, Miss Nan told me earlier, we had about 1,400 to 1,500 people view our video on Facebook. So what I do want you to do is continue to share this on Facebook. Your friends, your family, your coworkers might be able to hear it, and you never know what just one video will do to bring somebody to Christ. And you know, as I was driving here also today, it'd be easy for us to sit in our homes quarantined and begin to complain about what the government's doing, complain about what the politicians are doing, complain about all this stuff. But I got to thinking about Paul and Silas. And in Acts chapter number 16, they were quarantined too. And you know, instead of looking at the things that were all around them, Paul and Silas chose to focus their attention that way. They didn't look this way and they didn't look this way, but Paul and Silas looked that way. And you know, although everything around them was changing, they realized something, that God was still seated on the throne. And because God was still seated on the throne and everything else has changed, He hadn't changed. And our God was still worthy of praise. So you know, today we've spent enough time this week watching the news, reading on Facebook about all the bad things that are going on. Today is the Lord's Day. And today I just want you, right where you are, to be able to focus on God. Because I don't know about you, God sure has been good to me and my family. And today I pray that we would just praise Him and worship Him right where you are. So today, that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to praise and we're going to pray and we're just going to lift up everything that we have to the God who loved us enough to send His Son to die on the cross for our sins. And as soon as I get done praying here, we've got a special treat for you today. Jimmy Propes is going to come and he's going to sing for us. And I pray that that will be a great encouragement to you. So let's go to the Lord in prayer right where you are. Father, we come to you this morning. And Lord, we want to thank you so much for your protection over us and our family. Lord, even though everything is going around right now, Lord, we're so thankful that although we can't see you, we know that by faith your arms are wrapped around us. We know that you are walking right beside us through this because you are our good shepherd. And Lord, we want to thank you for that this morning. And I do pray, God, that in everything that's said today and everything that's sung and everything that's preached and everything that's even played, God, I pray that it would be done to honor and glorify you. And God, as churches all across our country are doing this very thing right now, I pray that you would also bless them. And God, as everything just goes out on the internet right now, I pray that you will use the gospel to reach people. I pray that you will use the gospel to bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful that the gospel is still good news and it can still save us today. So Lord, I just pray that if there's just one person watching right now that's not saved, that hasn't received Christ, I pray that by the end of this service they will receive Christ as their Savior. Lord, we just continue to pray for our nation. Lord, we need physical healing, but more than that, we need a spiritual healing. I pray that you'll start with us, the church, and just revive us, Lord. We thank you for all that you are to us, and we glorify your holy name. And we thank you, we praise you, and it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Jimmy, if you could come forth.
Well, good morning, Facebook people. This is weird. And I just want to say, you know, it's weird for you watching. Everything's kind of weird nowadays. And I have a lot of people at work and whether I'm out fishing that know me or wherever I might be. And a lot of people ask me, just what is God doing? What is this? Has God caused this? Has God allowed this? Is this God's plan? And you know, my answer has been, until He tells me different, I just don't know. I just don't have the answers. And you know, that seems like it's very common now that people just don't have the answers. No news, no scientists, no professors, nobody has the answers to this. And the thing I do know about this thing is that it don't matter if you're Republican, you're Democrat, you're independent. It don't matter if you're Baptist, you're Lutheran, you're Methodist, Catholic. It don't matter if you're American, you're Chinese, you're Italian. It don't matter if you're black or white. This thing's not a respecter of persons. But I do know this, is that my God is an attention getter. And God, I believe, is trying to get our attention. And the Bible says that God neither sleeps nor slumbers. So this ain't slipped by Him while He was taking a nap. He knew exactly what this was going to do. He knew this 100 years ago that this would happen. So there is a plan. But I just want to come this morning and just say to you, if you're out there and you're a Christian, don't be discouraged. You see, God's love for us, He sent His Son to the cross. And His love for us is so much greater than any virus. But most importantly this morning, there's a lot of you that you don't go to church. I might know you out on the water fishing, or maybe you work with me or whatever. I just want to encourage you, God is an attention getter. And He desires for you to know Him in a personal relationship. And so take this opportunity, as we're all quarantined and isolated away from each other, take this opportunity, wherever you're at, just to fall to your knees and just beg His forgiveness for your sins and ask Him to come in your life. And I promise you, the peace that will come into your life is so much greater than any cure for this virus would ever be. This song blesses my heart because it, you know, sometimes it takes a mountain or something to get in my way, in my path, to get me back on path to where I need to be. And so, to a Christian, shouldn't be too uncommon that there's always something that God gets our attention with. But I hope this song will bless you. It's called Sometimes It Takes a Mountain.
Never faced before. That's why I'm calling on You, Lord. I know it's been a while, but Lord, please hear my prayer. I need You like I never have before. Sometimes it takes a mountain. Sometimes a troubled sea. Sometimes it takes a desert just to get a hold of me. Your love is so much stronger than whatever troubles me. Sometimes it takes a mountain to trust You and believe. Forgive me, Jesus, I thought I could control whatever life would throw my way. But this, I will admit, has brought me to my knees. And I need You, Lord, and I'm not ashamed to say, sometimes it takes a mountain. Sometimes a troubled sea. Sometimes it takes desert to get a hold of me. Your love is so much stronger than whatever troubles me. Sometimes it takes a mountain to trust you and believe. Sometimes it takes a mountain just to trust you and believe. Sometimes it takes a mountain sometimes a trouble sea. Sometimes just to get a hold of me. Yes, it does. Your love is so much stronger than whatever troubles me. Sometimes it takes a mountain just to trust you and believe. Sometimes it takes a mountain just to trust you and believe.
You know, I'm so thankful this morning that although those mountains that we face, they do bring us to our knees, they're hard, they bring us to our knees and we just cry out, but we can look back on the other side and say, you know what, I am thankful for that mountain, because that mountain did something good to me. It drew me closer to the Lord. So this morning, if you do have your Bibles, wherever you are, if you're still in bed, sitting on the couch, or wherever you are, I do invite you to take your Bibles and open them up to the book of 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter number 3. Will be our text for this morning. That is in the back of your New Testament, of course, right behind 1 Peter and right before the book of 1 John. And as you think about Peter, you know, sometimes we consider the apostles as all these superheroes, basically, that are above everybody else. But, you know, we can relate to Peter because Peter was a failure. And I don't know about you, but a lot of you can look at me and realize that I'm a failure sometimes, and I've failed the Lord just like Peter has. But I'm so thankful that although at times I have been so unfaithful to the Lord has always been faithful to me. And I'm so thankful for that fact this morning. So 2 Peter, we can relate to Peter a lot. I like to study Peter's epistles. We'll begin reading in verse number 10 of 2 Peter chapter number 3. And we'll read through verse 14 this morning. Verse 10 says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat." And I like this verse. "Nevertheless, We, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And that's where we'll stop this morning. May God add His blessing to the reading of His Word. You know, this week I had the opportunity to talk to a church member, and they had went to Walmart for groceries. And I said, God bless you. Because as they got there, they found out that there wasn't any chicken. And to not find any chicken for a Baptist is the biggest tragedy you'll ever find. But you go to Walmart, you won't find any chicken, you won't hardly find any beef, no bread, no milk, no water. You won't find any of those things. And you can look on Facebook, all of the pictures of the grocery store shelves that are just basically bare and they're empty. But you know, one of the things that you won't see on Facebook is there's something else that's looking empty. There's something else in the Walmart stores that are beginning to be sold out. And you know what that is, church? That's Bibles. If you go and you look, Walmart has a section where Bibles are usually stacked up. But if you go, you will find that those Bibles are beginning to get lower and lower and lower. And those Bibles are also beginning to sell out. You say, why are the Bibles beginning to sell out, preacher? Because people are beginning to get curious about God again. People are beginning to get curious about what God's Word says. And people are beginning to look at us Christians, whom you may have called crazy all these years, and say, when we've said Jesus is coming back for a long time. And you might be thinking, uh-oh, maybe them Christians were right. Maybe Jesus is going to return soon. And people are beginning to open up God's Word to see what the Bible has to say about that, because right now in this very moment in history, something drastic is beginning to take place in our generation. I don't know about you, but I like to know what the future holds. Sometimes we don't know, actually all the time, we have no idea what our future holds. But every morning when I wake up, the first thing that I do is get my phone, click on the weather app, and see what the weather is going to be like for today, because I like the plan of whether I need to wear short sleeves or long sleeves, long pants, or shorts. So, in other words, I like to see the future so, in other words, I can plan for the future. And can I tell you, church, if you were to open up the pages of your Bible, you will find every single thing that God wants us to know about the future. And I can tell you one thing. When you study your Bible, you and I better realize that you and I need to be planning for the end. We need to be planning for the last days. Because you and I, as the Bible shows, we are living in the last days. Now, I did a very interesting study this week that I usually don't do. I found out that non-Christians, that people who don't read the Bible, people who don't even believe the Bible, have begun to plan for the end of the world. The co-founder of Facebook has a bunker underneath his house that has all essential supplies in it when the apocalypse comes. And they like to call it doomsday. The apocalypse, doomsday, the end of the world, whatever it is. He has a bunker down beneath his house. When the end of the world comes, he can escape to that and have everything that he needs. The Walton family, the people who own Walmart, they have an underground bunker underneath their house with basically their little own Walmart. When the end of the world comes, they can escape down there and be able to be safe from whatever might be coming on doomsday. And what's very interesting about that is that the world realizes that this world in which we're living cannot last much longer the way it's going. And church, if the world realizes this world can't last much longer, you and I need to open our eyes. We need to wake up and realize this world will not last much longer the way that it is going, and we need to plan for the last days and plan for the end. And you see, our text this morning in 2 Peter, it reminds us of the fact that there will be an end. It reminds us, Peter is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He reminds us the earth on which we live, it's not going to last forever. The earth on which you and I wake up and walk upon every single day of our lives, it will not be here forever. Now, we all know what the first days look like. All you have to do is go to the first page of your Bible. Genesis 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And on that first day God said, let there be light, and there was light. So no matter what you believe about the beginning, some may believe the Big Bang Theory, whatever it is. I told somebody the other day, I believe in the Big Bang Theory too. God said it, bang, it happened. So God created all things in the beginning. That's the first days. A lot of people are wondering now in the year 2020, what about the last days? What are the last days going to look like? And today, for the next few minutes, I want to bring that topic to you. Earth's last day. Not just the last days, the last day. What is the final day on planet Earth going to look like? And we actually find it in our text in 2 Peter. I want to give you four quick things this morning and I'll be done. The first thing I want you to see in verse 10, there is a certain happening. There is a certain happening. Verse 10 says, but the day of the Lord might come. Is that what it says? No, it says the day of the Lord will come. Now why does Peter have to be so adamant about saying, listen, it's going to come, it will come? Because back in verse 3 and 4 of chapter number 3, Peter said, Christians, you need to watch out for mockers. You need to watch out for scoffers that come along and saying things like, where's the promise of your Savior's coming? You've been saying Jesus is coming back for 2,000 years now, and nothing's changed, nothing's happened. The reason He has not come is because He is not coming. That's what people have said since Jesus left. Peter said you need to be aware of that people are going to say that. And then he comes down to verse 10 and says basically it doesn't matter what the world says about Jesus coming back. Jesus has already spoken and He said, I will come again. And see, because Jesus already said it, it's already done. So we can be absolutely certain that Jesus will return for us. So how can you be so certain? Because in Matthew chapter number 28, that angel looked at Mary standing inside of that empty tomb and said, don't look here, He is risen just as He said. And because He arose from the dead exactly like He said He would do, you can bank on it. That because He said, I will come again, He will do exactly what He said He would do. But some of you are asking this morning when you get to verse 10, what is the day of the Lord? Well, you find that term a lot in the Old Testament. Isaiah 13, verse 6 says, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Jeremiah 46, 10. For this is the day of the Lord God of hosts, a day of vengeance, that He may avenge him of his adversaries. So the day of the Lord, basically here, you'll see it in the Old Testament and the New Testament, deals a lot with God coming to judge those that are against Him. But people say, well, really, that might just be the Old Testament. Well, let's do the New Testament. 2 Thessalonians 2. The Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. I've been on the bad side of a lot of people. But there is one person's side that I don't want to be on his bad side, and that is God. Because there is coming a day where He is going to judge this world and those that do not know Him and those that have blasphemed Him and those that are against Him. But you see in verse 10, it actually tells us specifically of what's going to happen in the day of the Lord. So not only is there a certain happening, secondly in verse 10 you'll see a cosmic holocaust. A cosmic holocaust. Look at what it says. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. In the which, in other words, in the day of the Lord, this is what's going to happen. The heavens shall pass away with a great noise. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. In other words, there's one thing that's going to happen in the day of the Lord. The heavens will pass away and the earth will be burned up. You know, since World War II, when everything bad began to happen here, people began to ask the question, is this the end of the world? How is the end of the world going to come? And ever since that day, the most popular speculation of how the end of the world is going to come is by the effects of a nuclear war. You see the news media, they say, more than likely our world is going to end by means of a nuclear war. And you know, in 1945, I wasn't alive, of course, But the United States dropped an atom bomb on Nagasaki and Hiroshima. And you can study the stats, you can look at everything that happened during that time. But it says at that moment, nearly instantaneously, 110,000 people died. Not over the years they died as the effects of the waves and everything, but as soon as that bomb was dropped, instantaneously, 110,000 people were killed. You say, what in the world makes those bombs so powerful? Well, that was 1945. I can't imagine how powerful nuclear weapons are right now. But nuclear weapons are designed. That one in 1945 was designed. That when it goes off, when it detonates, it raises the temperatures up to 50 million degrees. It is designed to detonate temperatures at 50 million degrees in that vicinity. That's hot. You say, even a comparison to that. At the core of the sun, which is 93 million miles away from us, at the core of the sun, it is 27 million degrees. So that's almost two of the sun. It's basically like you flying up to the sun, standing on top of two of them. That's what it would be like to be in the effects of a nuclear war. And that just might scare half of us to death. But that's the speculation of how this world is going to end. And I tell you that story to tell you this. Because tremendous heat, tremendous fire is detonated off of those weapons. And you'll see in our text that tremendous heat and fire will be used to destroy our world. Look at all the words that deal with heat or fire in verse 10 through 12. The elements will melt with fervent heat. The earth will be burned up. Verse 11, they will be dissolved. Verse 12, the heavens being on fire. The elements will melt with fervent heat. The Bible says the way that our world is going to come to an end is not by means of an asteroid, as the astrologers say. It's not by means of nuclear war, as the news says. It's not even going to be by global warming. But it's going to be by the hand of God that sends a fire to planet Earth to destroy everything. One man said, just as God created this world out of nothing, so He can dismiss this world into nothing. And you know, when you read 2 Peter, you're maybe thinking, you know, maybe Peter was just having a bad day. Maybe Peter was just angry at the people around him and saying, God's going to come, God's going to wipe out everything. But listen to what Jesus said. This is written in red in the book of Matthew. Heaven and earth shall pass away. Jesus said that. Not just Peter. Jesus said that. And Peter recognizes, he remembers Jesus saying that. But it says the heavens shall pass away. Notice the word heaven is plural. It has an S on the end because when you see heaven in the Bible, sometimes it's speaking of one of three heavens. And there are three heavens. The first heaven is the cloud, the clouds, the birds, and where planes fly. The second heaven is the sun, the moon, the stars. That's where space is and all the planets. And the third heaven is the throne of God, where God is seated, where all the angels are, where all the redeemed have gone. See, we see the first heaven by day, the second heaven by night, and the third heaven by faith. And you see, just above the sun, the moon, the stars, and all those things, I don't know how long space goes. That's also a scary thought to think about. But right at the end, you can open up that portal and you will find a real place called heaven, where God is still seated on His throne. So when He says the heavens will pass away, He's not talking about that place that God is preparing for us when we go, those that have trusted in Christ, when we die. He's talking about the first and the second heaven, the atmosphere and the universe in which we live. But not only the heavens will pass away, verse 10 says the earth will also be burned up. So not only everything above us will be gone, but also what we're standing on will also be gone. But Peter makes sure and he mentions something. Verse 10. Not only will the earth be burned up, but the works that are therein shall be burned up. There's a lot of people that have put in a lot of work on planet Earth. I can't imagine how long that Eiffel Tower took to build. It's a beautiful structure. But you know what? That's going to be gone one day. Statue of Liberty, the Empire State Building, the Roman Colosseum, the pyramids in Egypt, all of these works that people have done, they're not going to last. And you know, me and my wife just moved in a new house. And to be honest with you, it's a little sad that one day that house ain't going to last. But even the money that we make every single day, the money that you're so worried about right now, we get so worried that we're not going to have a job and we get worried about our money. I want you to realize it's not going to last when God's fire gets to it anyway. One man said, "Why would you spend all of your time on earth worrying about something that's going to be turned to ashes one day? Why would we spend all of our time worrying about something that's just going to dissolve and melt one day anyway?" So you see this morning what the Bible says. This is not my opinion. This is not Justin's message. This is what God says. The earth will not last forever, and the way the earth will end and the last day on planet earth will be as a result of fire. Fire will get to it, and it will destroy everything that you and I see every single day. So what should be our reaction to that? Some of you might be absolutely scared to death that the Bible says that's going to happen. But all of this has a practical application. I want to show you compelling holiness. This ought to compel us to live holy lives. Verse 11 tells us that. "Seeing then that these things shall be dissolved, since there's going to be nothing left, what manner of person should you be in all holy conduct or conversation and godliness?" In other words, Peter says, everything that we see here that we work on, that we spend our whole life doing, is going to be melted, it's going to be dissolved. So what kind of person should we be? What kind of life should we live based on one day everything is going to be gone? And he says we need to live holy and godly lives right now. Now notice it does not say perfect lives, because that's impossible for us right now still in this body. It says holy lives and godly lives. And that can't be done apart from the Holy Spirit of God helping us to do that. But one man said, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. You know, Christian, I want to ask you something. What sin are you participating in right now in your life that if Jesus were to come back tonight, you'd be ashamed that He found you doing that? And I'm not saying you will not go to heaven, because that's signed, sealed, and delivered if you're born again. But when Jesus comes back for me, I do not want Him to find me playing around in sin. I don't want Him to find me playing around with things that I do not need to be playing around in as a Christian. We've spent long enough as our time in the lust of our flesh. It's time that you and I as Christians begin to live the lives God has called us to live. I want Him to find me walking in obedience to Him, not in disobedience. John says, abide in Him, so that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. And what will help us when you're going through temptation? Every single one of us is tempted every single day. And what helps us through temptation is to realize, you know what, if I give in to this temptation and Jesus comes back in 5 minutes, I do not want that to be the last thing that I do on earth. It's not that I'm not going to heaven, because that's done. That's signed and that's sealed. It's just the fact that I don't want that to be the last thing that I do. My grandma used to tell me all the time, is that where you want to be when Jesus comes back, Justin? And I'd say, just go on somewhere, Grandma. But you know, I realize it now. She was exactly right. She was telling the truth. Because there are some places I don't want to be when Jesus comes back. So the fact that all this will melt and the end of the world will come, it should compel us to live holy and godly lives. But fourthly, and I'm going to be done, not only in our text do you see a certain happening, a cosmic holocaust compelling holiness, but man, I'm so thankful that in verse 13 you see something called a continual home. A continual home. You know, church, one of my favorite things in this world to do, I told you, me and my wife, we just moved to a new home. When you go and sit out on the back porch, we're living in the country now, and I praise the Lord for that. When you go out on the back porch and you just sit there about 7:30, and you begin to look up into the sky, that's one of my favorite things to do. Because what you begin to see is God's work. You see what God's handiwork can do. A sunset, God paints one of the most beautiful pictures you've ever seen. And when that sun goes down and the moon comes out and the stars, you begin to look up and you just begin to count them all, and they're innumerable. But to think that the God that put every single one of them there knows every single one of those stars by name. how powerful and all-knowing our God is. What a beautiful place this earth can be at times. You could probably do it tonight. Go out there and see it. But you know, although this earth is so beautiful at times, the Bible says it's not going to last. It's all going to be burnt up one day. But church, can I tell you, when I read about our earth being burned up one day, I'm not the least bit sad, depressed, lonely, or discouraged about it, because verse 13 says this world is not our home anyway. We look for new heavens and we look for a new earth wherein righteousness dwells. On this earth there is sickness all around. There is sorrow and sadness and depression and death all around. Some of you have buried a loved one this week. But you know, in that place that we're going, that new heaven, in that new earth, the old song says it is a land of no goodbyes. You've had to say goodbye to some precious husbands, some precious wives here lately. But I'm so thankful in that new place we'll never have to say goodbye again. Because God is preparing a new heaven and a new earth. And I don't know about you, but it brings me so much joy to realize this place that we're living now is not home. But that place that we're going is an eternal home. And He'll give us an eternal body. It won't be able to get sick. And praise God, it won't even be able to sin. And we'll live with Christ forevermore. You talk about beautiful. This earth can be beautiful. But my soul, what a place God's preparing. It's going to be so much more beautiful. You know, I'm going to tell you this, and I'm done. This is the most important part of the message today. All of this makes me think of the man in Luke chapter number 12. This man, if you will, he got back his tax return. He's rich. He is filthy rich. And he's living the American dream. He says, I've got all this money. I've got all this stuff, but I don't have anywhere to put it. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to build me some huge barns. I'll put my stuff in those barns, and this is what I'll say to myself. I'll say, soul, take thine ease, sit back, relax, be merry. You are good for many years. American dream. Retire, get all your stuff, and just sit back and relax by the pool. But you know, the Bible says God came to that man that night. And He says, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. In other words, this man took 50, 60 years to plan his retirement, to plan what he was going to do when he retired. But he did not take one second to plan for eternity. And what the devil would love to do is take you straight to hell with him, because he wants you to plan for the next 40, 50 years of your life and never take one day to plan for your eternal destiny. I don't know who you are this morning. I don't know whether you're sitting on the couch, still in bed, riding down the road. Do not let the devil take you to hell with him. Do not take time to plan for the next 40, 50 years and not plan where you're going to spend eternity. You say, but Justin, I'm just not good enough. Well, good, that's the first step, to realize you're not good enough. Because none of us are good enough. That's why God loved you and me so much that He sent His Son to say, I know you're not good enough, but He is. And He will come and die in your place so that you don't have to go to hell. Some of you listening know me. You know I failed. You know I'm a sinner. But let me tell you some good news. Jesus loves sinners. Jesus loves sinners. And right now, I don't know how long this world is going to last. But there's one thing I sure don't know. How long you're going to last in this world. And if God were to come to you tonight and say, tonight, your soul is required of you, where would you go? Because that's the most important question anybody could ever ask you. You say, I'm not sure. Why don't you make it sure right where you are? Start by realizing you're a sinner. There's nothing we can do to get to God, to get to heaven, to earn salvation. But realize God loves you. That's right, He loves you. And He sent His Son to die in your place. So that you just might say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. But today I realize you're the Savior. You died in my place. You rose again and you're coming back. And today I receive you into my heart by faith. And He will give you more peace than you've ever experienced before. And He will also write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And He will give you a home in heaven. Because church, today, before we lay down our head on our pillow tonight, Jesus just might come back. And I pray if He comes back tonight, we will all meet in heaven tonight. If you want to pray right now, I invite you to invite Jesus into your life by faith. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've sinned against you and I've failed you. But right now, I receive you into my life, into my heart, by faith. I invite you to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for coming into my life and saving me and giving me a home in heaven. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for the encouragement that we find in it. And God, thank you so much that you still offer every single person on the face of the planet salvation if we just come and if we'll just receive you. Father, I pray that you'll be with us to share the message of hope, to share the good news of Jesus Christ on Facebook, on those that we come into contact with our friends and our family. Father, we do love you and we do praise you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, church, I want to thank you so much for being here with us today. And what I want you to do, if you just prayed that and you invited Jesus to come into your life, I want you to tell somebody. You don't have to tell me. I would love for you to get on Facebook and tell me that you did that. But tell somebody that you just received Christ as your Savior. And, of course, we've got a lot that's going on right now. Our governor has ordered for us to stay at home for the next few weeks, so we'll have a lot of announcements coming your way. But continue to pray, continue to read your Bible. This is a time to grow in your relationship with God. And church, I love you. If you do need anything, you be sure and you call us. And we do love you, and God bless you. I hope you have a good day.